Welcome to Paddle Powwow, your inside look into the world of paddle in Australia and around the world.
Welcome everyone to Paddle Powwow, another episode today. Hi, I'm your host, Matt Levy, and as always, I have the godfather with me, Matt Burrell. Today, we'll be talking about all things paddle, starting with the international scene. There's lots going on since last time we spoke. We'll also be talking about all things paddle in Australia. We have some Oz Tour results for you from the most recent Sydney tournament. And we'll also be speaking to Simon Tegnestrand from Nordic Paddle, who's soon to be opening in Tullamarine in Melbourne. Anyway, without further ado, before we get into the show, I should welcome my co-host, Matty Burrell. Hi, Matt. How are you?
Thanks, Matty Levy. It's a pleasure to be here as always. We've got an action-packed show tonight with all sorts of stats internationally and also lots going on in Australia. I can't wait to rip into it with you.
100%. You've been in the war room with all these stats this month. I must admit, when you turned up today so fully loaded, I was very impressed. So maybe we move into what's happening internationally with paddle and how the growth and the expansion starting to happen there.
Yeah, there's a couple of key things going on. I might just kick off with two of them. A report came in recently showing Italy are now at 8,000 courts and 3,000 clubs, so just over two courts per club. Remember, in Italy, there's a lot of action going into the suburban areas now, so it's gone through the major cities and headed right out into the suburbs. So you've got some two-court clubs, one-court clubs growing out there as well. I remember when we helped set up a club in Genoa in the south of Italy, there was one court in Rome at the time, and they had the famous superstar football or soccer player Francesco Totti have a game on that court, and that led to 50 clubs opening up in Rome basically right behind that. So again, showing the power of the football players and the star power overseas in Italy at least. And that puts Italy past Sweden now too. So Italy's now sort of taking over ahead of Sweden, and Sweden's regressing a little bit now. The actual amount of clubs are remaining about even, but quite a few of the smaller clubs are closing up and the bigger centres are opening up in the major cities there now in Sweden. And France would be the next behind after that. Of course, all of those are behind Spain in the first place. So that's sort of the wrap-up going on there.
Yeah, it's funny. I mean, we obviously know about Europe and just know how paddle crazy things are. What I'm more interested in at the moment is watching what's happening over in the US. Obviously, they've got a big push. They've got a real paddle roadshow trying to promote the game. And obviously, we've got the Pro Paddle League in the States that's gone from, 200,000 a team to 1 million a team for next year. So obviously, that's going quite well. That's with our own man, Tim Brown, over there. Am I right?
Yep, Timmy Brown's over there playing for the Los Angeles Beat, they play that over a construct of 5 weekends or 6 weekends in a row leading up to the finals. So they fly in each weekend from wherever they're living and play out each weekend. And let's hope Tim gives them a leg up and gets Australia on the map out there on the international scale.
Beautiful, yeah. Hey, when does that kick off?
It kicked off 2 weekends ago.
Have we got any results for Tim?
No, not yet. The way it works is you get one team, each male and female, and then you get a mixed doubles as well for the decider. Yep. So it's Davis Cup style in regards to that, sort of. Tim hasn't got the go-ahead yet. They've got the ex-number one, Sebroni over there, playing in the LA team. So he's got a tough battle, and he's got another player in that team too that's the USA's best player and regular on the World Paddle Tour. So he's got a tough gig to get a game out there. So he's not in the starting two. Four other guys on the team. So I feel like he's probably next up or the one after that in regards to having a game. So the 2 weekends have gone through so far. He's taken up an expert commentator role, though, on BeIN Sports and ESPN, I think. So he's really liking to that. We better watch out. He could be taking over our paddle powwow pretty soon.
Yeah, he wouldn't need much encouragement. It's funny how this is all sort of playing out. There seems to be a lot of leagues happening around the world as well as the paddle tour. There's also the World Paddle League in Dubai, which is exactly the same format, as what you were mentioning before, it's a team's event, et cetera, et cetera. They're throwing around big dollars also, $350,000 Australian dollars as a total prize pool. Something interesting with the paddle tour rather than these leagues is the two rival tours seem like they've reached an agreement and they will form a single paddle tour next year in 2024. Do you want to talk on that?
Yeah, so there's been three basic tours all competing. There's the A1 tour with Fabrice Pastore running that out of Monaco, and he's got investment recently from one of the owners of the New York Yankees. So that's that one. And then the other two, who have been fairly bitter rivals in the past, is the World Paddle Tour and the FIP-endorsed Premier Paddle Tour. So that's the official tour the federations have got behind. The World Paddle Tour was the original tour with all the glitz and glamour. So those two have merged in together. It'll take more of the format of the Premier Paddle Tour, which gives a lot more prize money. And that's been endorsed by the PPA, which is the governing body for players. They love that. So and they've also plugged in they had male only last year. So this year coming or next year, we'll have the females in there as well, with a prize pool really ramping up for that. So the players are loving it. They're finally getting what they deserve on the tour. There'll be 24 matches or tournaments, per year. And it'll be the official tour. And it's great those two have actually come together because it was a bit scattery before and no one really knew what to do.
Yeah, I think it's much better for the players. There was a whole lot of this taking sides going on, wasn't there? It was actually reminiscent of when the professional tour started in tennis. You know, there was the, what were they called? I think they were called the Rebel Tour or something like that. And then there was the amateurs still playing and, you know, you kind of had to belong to one or the other. So yeah, it's much cleaner for paddle and much better for the sport, isn't it?
It is. It's happening in every sport, though. If you look across the history of the NRL, was the ARL and Super League, if you remember that, it's happening in golf right now with the LIV Tour. So there's all sorts of aggregation going on, and it always ends up helping out more. A larger slice of the pie ends up with the players each time. And that's what's really happening, because they're the ones driving it, and that's who people are tuning into to watch on television, which is the largest proportion of revenue coming out of these things. So it seems to make sense that that's where it's all going in paddle as well.
100%. Okay, well, I think we're covering off what's happening internationally from a competition standpoint. We're probably not across all the new clubs worldwide. You probably are, being the savant that you are. But I know that some stuff's happening in Bali. Obviously, there's the new ones. There's Jungle Paddle. But what else we got in Bali now?
Well, we talked once before about this combination of a large social area, ice baths and jacuzzis or hot tubs and gyms outside and sort of peacocking, running around the paddle court, as we described it before. That's what's going on in Bali, which is a real indicator of the future of the sport. It's more entertainment, social, lifestyle than just the sport of paddle itself. So Island Paddle have come up now and they've opened up in Uluwatu. I'll try and get over there in a month or two and check that out and report back on my official business trip, obviously.
That's a paddle powwow trip, you and I.
Yeah, exactly. Live from Bali. And between those two, Island Paddle and Jungle Paddle, they've got five clubs opening up. We mentioned before, there's about 10 or 12 clubs on the deck now. That's actually moved up to 15 clubs now. So you expect 15 new clubs in the next 12 months coming out of Bali, which is an amazing example of where things are going growth-wise. And also, I was on a call the other night with the bosses of each country through the Middle East, Asia, Pacific. What's really showing forward now is the Middle Eastern countries are really stepping on the gas. We've got 250 clubs in Saudi Arabia already. So the Saudis have really hit the button on that. UAE is growing rapidly. Egypt is growing rapidly. Egypt won the Asia Pacific Middle East World Cup qualifiers. So their level's going up with the amount of courts. With more courts come more players. With more players comes a higher level, more competition amongst each other. So yeah, it's all, there's a lot of money going into it over there. The boss of Qatar is also the boss of Paris Saint-Germain and is a legitimate billionaire. So he's behind that and behind paddle. And that's happening also through Saudi Arabia and some of these other countries now in the Middle East. So there's some real serious bucks going into it. And it's become the sort of chosen sport for the royalty and kings now.
Yeah, wow. Yeah, there's a lot going on, isn't there? That's incredible. Okay, well, moving to our shores in Australia, not as much is happening, but things are slowly but surely happening. Obviously, last month we spoke to Aaron and Mark. They're now up and running in Albury and trading successfully. Interestingly enough, they posted something on the Instagram just talking about their demographic, which they found was players between the age of 35 and 65 years old. And they had a 60-40 split of men and women in their demographic of people playing paddle, which, to be honest, is a lot different to us down in Melbourne. But look, it's an interesting piece just knowing who are going to be playing paddle throughout Australia. It could be different, more tennis players than perhaps we see in Europe where they're pure paddle players. But just interesting to note those points. What have you found, Matty?
Yeah, I think it's roughly 60-40, or let's call it one third female, two thirds males generally. I think that'll reflect across the tennis courts too, if I had to take a guess, is exactly as I'd expect. The key demographic, 75% of their players or their members, which have already got 200 registered members there, which is unbelievable in a month's time. It's really unbelievable for not what you'd consider a paddle crazy natural area with large South American, European demographic. There are obviously a lot of tennis players there, but 35 to 65 year olds is the key demographic, and that's 75%. So you'd think up to 55, but no, 55 to 65 is a large chunk in there as well. So it's really stretching the upper echelon of the demographic there. And it seems to bode well also for our Australian Paddle Tour Seniors event coming up in Albury at Soul Paddle with Aaron Pirtle over there. And that will be 35 plus and 35 and 45 plus for the men. And in terms of getting on board with that, jump onto Oz Paddle, either Instagram, either Facebook or the web, Google that up, and you'll find the entry forms coming through. We normally open up registrations about a month to 3 weeks out.
Got a date for that one?
Yeah, that date's October 13 to 15. They've got a fantastic hotel accommodation set up right next door too, within the golf club there. Correct. And they're actually running a golf tournament, I think Aaron Pirtle mentioned that last time too, at the same time. So it should be a festival weekend out there, October 13 to 15. The other seniors tour event prior to that is in Indoor Paddle Sydney, which is August 25 to 27. So that's the next seniors event running. And again, that will open up 3 to 4 weeks out, and registrations across the Oz Paddle websites, Instagram and Facebook.
Yeah. And look, first year of the seniors tour running this year. I played in the first one, which was great, and seems to be a really good uptake for players.
We knew that demographic was the key demographic. People tend to come out of being hardcore with their work environment. The females go into baby-making mode normally in the 30s as well. So out the other side of that, you wind up looking for another sport to go and play. And that's what paddle's really picked up on, which is the sort of twice-a-week fitness demographic, the ex-tennis players, the ex-squash players, and the South American crew. But generally, it's become just a social sport to play. And that feeds into the seniors too with the numbers, like you said. And, Matty, I did look. I'm just pulling the rankings up now, which are about to come out live. I've just looked, you're fifth, you're equal fifth in Australia, 45 plus. So that's a proud day for you and Nige War as the new team to watch.
Whoop, whoop. I'll take that. That's awesome. I'll have to give Nige a call later. Look, the secret is in recruiting, and I think I've done pretty well with Nige. He's such a good partner that he actually even does the training element for me.
Outsource the training. That's next level stuff, mate. Well done. Nige will appreciate that. And he's probably the fittest guy on the tour, to be honest. So you've done well with the partnering choices, as always.
Just got that one thing right. Well, look, before we go too crazy and get into some of these Oz Tour results, because obviously there was the tournament on the weekend too that we need to talk about. We were in new clubs, and obviously we've spoken about Albury, which has now been open for almost a month. But soon, in the next 2 to 3 weeks, we're going to have another club, a second club in Melbourne. So we'll have an indoor club in the Tullamarine with a company by the name of Nordic Paddle. And we're going to be speaking to Simon Tegnestrand very shortly. I'm going to get him on the line, have a little bit of a chat about his journey, which I know a fair bit about. I've kind of been talking to him from the start, you know, maybe a year and a half ago. As we talk about, these things take time. But he's going to be a very proud paddle owner. He's done a lot of the work himself, and I know he's going to create a good product. How you going? Welcome to the show. We were just talking before you came on, talking about Nordic Paddle and the fact that we're going to have a second club in Melbourne opening very soon. What brought you to Melbourne in the first place? What's your paddle journey been like, and how long until you can open your courts?
Our whole paddle journey for Nordic Paddle started in Sweden. Me and my wife were living there at the time, and we're relocating to Australia or to Melbourne. At that stage, there wasn't any courts in Melbourne, and I was quite paddle interested, so I wanted to keep that interest up. Had a chat to my dad and said that we should build a club together, and decided together with my dad and my brother to open up a club, and also managed to find an investor from Sweden that were keen to join in our journey.
Excellent. We've spoken on the show many times about it's not a simple thing to open a paddle club. I would imagine, well, you and I have been speaking for a year and a half, so I would imagine that your version of events probably agrees with that. Simon, how's it all been?
Well, it definitely is complicated. I think that's something you have to count on when being a pioneer in Australia or trying to bring the sport and grow it in Australia. We spent a lot of time during the pandemic trying to plan this out and finding sites and then forming partnerships. And I think it's that legwork that made us be able to come up with the sites that we have today. We do have a pretty big expansion plan throughout Australia now. And we have walked on quite a few landmines during these last 2 years to be able to get here.
Understand. I think everyone who's trying to get into the paddle business can understand that 100%. Talk to us about the facility that you've got. It's in Tullamarine. It's an indoor facility. I'll let you sort of speak on it a bit more.
Yeah, so what we have is an indoor facility with five courts. It's going to be four double courts and one single court. If I'm not mistaken, it might actually be the first single court that we have here in Australia. Our plan with it is to be used more for coaching, for kids, and also for warm up during tournaments. We also have facilities. It's a bar that we are waiting for our liquor license to be able to operate, and a pro shop that we just done renovating. So it's going to be a great site.
Perfect site on the back of that. We did have one singles court previously at the KDV Paddle Gold Coast site, Simon, which was used for those exact things. And just for those out there that don't know about the singles version, it's a sport of doubles, but there is a single version you can get, and that's 20 meters long, just like the regular courts, and 6 meters wide rather than 10 meters wide. It allows you to try both sides, left and right side in the corners, practice off the walls, coaching kids, like you said, and a fantastic warm-up area. So it doubles up as a lot of extra benefits. And if you can't fit the fifth paddle court in, regular court in, you may as well put a singles court in, because it really does get some good use. And we had some great use of that in Gold Coast in the early days.
Yeah, good, good. And so I know you're really close, Simon. Talk to me. How far away are you from opening?
Well, hopefully we'll be able to open up within the next 2 to 3 weeks. As always, it is a bit of problems with the council approvals. That's something that we noticed for the first site we were applying for as well, the site we have in Yarraville, the outdoor one. It's never as easy as it sounds. You think it's just going to be straightforward with application, and it's not going to be any issues. You do all the documentation, that's going to be it. But it's always so much back and forth, and it's taken so long time to get any response, and working with engineers and town planners to get everything together can be quite frustrating at times.
I hear you. And look, obviously from someone who's been there themselves, it's a journey, and you've done the hard yards, and you're going to get there. And once you're up and running, it's going to be all worth it. If players are looking to play paddle out in Tullamarine, where can they reach you?
We do have our website, nordicpaddle.com.au, and we also have our Instagram, Nordic Paddle Australia. My contact details are there as well, so you can always reach out. And we will also be hosting a lot of events as soon as we've opened for new players and also experienced players.
Yeah, look, I think if you speak to the right guy who's sitting next to me today, you could probably get a tournament on the Oz Paddle Tour as well.
I've got a couple of little questions, if that's okay, Simon. From my end, you're in a great location out there. I surf, so Urban Surf's out there near the airport. A lot of surfers come into Melbourne for a business trip, and end up doing a little extra cheeky surf in the afternoon, stay the night out there in Tullamarine, one of the airport hotels, do a surf in the morning, head back off and extend their trip. I'm sure that's exactly what the players will do now from a paddle perspective. It's a perfect location for that. And you can substitute surfing for paddle in and out if you want to now. On the way in and out, just pretend you're having a business trip a bit longer each time, which, you know, that's where a lot of these tourists are coming in and out via the airport. So stopping on the way is not a big deal. And it sounds like a no-brainer for the tourism market dropping in on the way through at least.
Oh, this guy knows all the life hacks, doesn't he, Simon?
Yeah, sounds like it.
I was going to ask you another question in regards to the demographics you're after. Are you going in for the fitness market? Are you going in for the ex-tennis or squash market or the South American European paddle market or the tourism market? Or are you just going across the board and putting your flagship up there and seeing who's going to come along? Have you got a particular target market there?
Well, we obviously have been looking at what kind of people are playing paddle at Game for Paddle down in Docklands. At this stage, there is mostly European and South American people playing. I think that the best way to get paddle to grow in Australia is to get the Australians playing. And that's what we're aiming for mostly. Obviously, we're at the start looking at having the Europeans and South American and people come to play just to get the booking rates up. But we wanna market this towards the Australians to get the sport to grow as much as possible.
That's a really good point. What do you think that looks like from your strategic standpoint?
Well, I think at this stage, most Australians don't even know what paddle is. There haven't been that much exposure for paddle in Australia. And I think to just show the Australians that this exists and that it's a fun, exciting sport, I think that's number one. And to spend on marketing is vital in this stage, I think.
Yeah. It's that education piece. Yeah, 100%. When Matt asked that question, I thought he can say whatever he wants here as long as he doesn't say, oh, yeah, we're going after the Docklands market.
No, I think...
No, we're far enough. We're perfectly positioned, I think, mate. We're in a really healthy space where we can do a little bit of cross-promotion, though, and, you know, maybe have some of the Tullamarine versus Docklands stuff, which we've talked about briefly, and hopefully we can make that happen.
Absolutely. As we usually say in our meetings that I have my father and brother from Sweden is that just in Stockholm where I'm from, we have about 200 to 250 courts. During 2020 and 2021, they were fully booked 2 weeks in advance. We have 1 million people over there. In Melbourne, there's 4 million people and you have 4 courts. So there's definitely room for more courts here.
100%. No, we can't wait to have more paddle clubs around because, as they say, the tide rises for everyone.
I'd agree with both of you. The growth phase of this sport, there's no such thing as competition, basically. It's everyone helping each other. It's communal marketing. It's leaning on Tennis Australia through the Aussie Open, which provides a huge marketing bedrock for any Melbourne club. And it's all hands on deck growing the sport, which helps the clubs after that. So there's the competition element. As long as you're not next door to each other, I don't think really matters. It's all about trying to grow the whole market. And as you said, Matt, then the rising tide floats all boats.
Exactly. Well, congratulations, Simon. I know you're not there yet, but you're absolutely almost there. It's no mean feat opening a paddle club and you know, well done.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
All the best, Max. Thanks, Simon. Bye. Okay, so Nordic Paddle will soon to be open in Tullamarine. Great to speak to Simon. Speaking of new venues, I think it's been a long time coming, but they are coming, definitely. I think in the next 12 months, we'll probably see another 6 clubs and then around about another 30 clubs that are on the drawing board. And you know, they've got a few missing pieces here or there, but sites have been secured. So look, I think within the next 2 years, you know, Australia could be close to sort of 40 clubs. So that's kind of some exciting news on the building front. It's a slow process, but once it happens, we're going to get more players. And as you were saying, Matty, the more players, the bigger the sport, right? And then we can have, you know, better level, better tournaments, and you know, just all in all, it's better for paddle.
It certainly is, and I'd echo your thoughts. That's exactly where the federation sees the growth of clubs. Exactly the numbers you just mentioned. That's echoed in what we're seeing on the drawing board. The idea was 3 or 4 years ago when we had the federation kicking off here that we wanted to get a club within a 1-hour drive for 60 or 70% of the population. So that meant up and down the eastern seaboard of Australia and over in Western Australia, Adelaide, major capital cities, Canberra as well, that you within a 1 hour drive, you get a game of paddle. And that was our key metric. And that seems to, when you got the 40 clubs going, that will tick that box of getting 60 to 70% of the population can reach paddle within a 1 hour drive. And that's sort of the ultimate overreaching goal from an Australian perspective.
Yeah. I tell you, a measure is the fact that these tournaments, the Oz Tour tournaments, every tournament, it seems like we're gaining 50 players. So, you know, we've recently had the second leg of the Oz Paddle Tour. And I remember back in October last year when we held our leg, we had a record of 110 players. Now, on the weekend just gone, we're up to 200 players. Is that correct? 200?
Yep. And there wasn't one pullout. It was unbelievable. It was a full stock. And we were waiting list of another probably 15 to 20 players who wanted to come in, including some famous AFL players and some others who I couldn't get in. But yes, it was an amazing weekend, and it was action-packed. JR put on a fantastic entertainment show for the weekend. He cooked up himself, pulled pork barbecue for all the players on the opening Friday night. We had a mixed doubles with again, we had more entrants than we could fit in. With JR's club there at Indoor Paddle, he's got four courts inside right now, which is great for weather coverage, and two outside. And the maximum players you could get was 200. So we only capped out at 200. If he'd made that 250, we would have got to that, I think, as well.
I didn't play this event, but I spoke to a lot of people who are playing. They were big days, weren't they?
There were long days out there, but you know what? It was worth it. If you played, we had A's and B's for female and male for the first time. So that shows the growth there, the depth of the female side as well. So that was huge. And yeah, mixed doubles Friday night. A's and B's, or opens and B's as we call it. And it was an absolute bumper event, and it was run down to the minute. And it was fantastic. We had beautiful weather out there. It was a bit cool in Sydney compared to up north here in Byron Bay, or maybe not as cool as down there for you in Melbourne. But yeah, it was fantastic, sunny time. And DJs going with Red Bull there. Cooper out there with their cars, showcasing those. Sponsors, masseuse available. I mean, it was really put on. They really put on a great event down there at Indoor Paddle.
Yeah, congratulations to Jao and Katarina, and well done to everyone. So some results in the men's open event. Dom Bouchard and won the men's event with Sam Asherton, who's from Perth, and that was a really tightly played out match against Jarek, Tim Brown's partner, Jarek Joswiak, and Pedro. I don't think I can say it. Is Querido? Can you say it?
Esquido is the best Spanish I can put onto that, but that's like saying paddle rather than paddle, I'd imagine.
Yeah, some different names this time, and we know why. Tim Brown's playing elsewhere over in the States, as you said earlier. But additionally, I feel like the field is anyone's now. There's lots of different players who could get up and win one of these events. Do you agree?
Yeah, I do. I mean, Jarek was very smart in his partner choice again. Pedro is probably the most naturally talented player of all the players here. He obviously comes from overseas. He had a professional tennis background, moved full-time into paddle, I don't know, 10 years ago, I think now. He coaches there also at Indoor Paddle. He's got an unbelievably good style, the way he hits the ball. And that was super close. It came like everything in paddle, things move very fast. So suddenly you're one break away from being up or down, and things just rocket with momentum very fast there. So Pedro actually won the B's event, won the mixed doubles event as well. So he was looking for the triple. The poor guy was super exhausted playing all the events at once. They just got narrowly beaten out there by Dom and Sam, who seemed to be sort of the new young blood, especially Dom, coming through for Australia. Dom's 26, again, college tennis, ITF junior, played with all the current Aussie superstars on the tennis tour, and now he's moved into padel and he's really making his mark now. He's won a couple of events now, Dom, and so I guess he'll be one or two or three now in the country. Tim will hold his spot even though he's overseas because he's got so far ahead, and Jarek will be number two again because he's been with Tim dominating all the way through last year.
Yeah, 26 is kind of even young for a paddle player, isn't it? Just different sort of physicality and mentality involved with paddle that you can peak that little bit later. Pedro probably only had one chance to play in the Bs because he was unknown until this weekend. So moving forward, I don't think they're going to let him play in any B events.
We may have to look at clipping Pedro for being too successful. That's also true. As long as you play in the Bs event with somebody who's absolutely novice and new, we let that fly normally, and therefore we give the opportunity to put Pedro in that ice bath or freezer.
Yeah, exactly. Okay, moving on to the women's. How often do you want to say this? The women's event was won by the Aussie duo, Lexi Dalley and Sarah Moranti. Is that three in a row or more?
Those guys, yeah. Well, they're unstoppable at the moment. And they get on so well. They're such a good partnership on and off the field. They're close friends. They both come from tennis. They beat out Constanza, who's always been known as probably the number one player previously in Australia.
Yeah.
Constanza has different partners coming in and out. Alba, unfortunately, is heading over. Alba Sola is her partner in this particular event. But Alba's going back today or yesterday to Spain, unfortunately. So Constanza, Cocorellis, will now need a new partner. So we'll keep an eye out for that. It should be interesting. And it's always super tight between those ladies at the top of the tree there. So, but the depth this time, we had 8 teams or 16 very, very good players in the Open or A division and another 16 in the B division. So that's a lot of players coming through at tournament level, which is, like you mentioned before, October last year would have been maybe 6 teams maximum in total that would have made the roster for an Australian Paddle Tour event. So really, really exciting to see and growing rapidly.
They're great stats, good for Tennis Australia as well with participation and obviously lets everyone know they've made the right decision in backing paddle as a sport. So that's good. So that was the second event of the Aussie Paddle Tour. The next event, which I am going to go to, heads over to the Gold Coast in July.
Yep. Roscoe Taylor puts on an absolute thumper of an event. He's got the decks going outside his container over there, which is booming out the music. He does a bit of dancing himself sometimes, whips out the bar, loves his beers, and it's an absolute fun time out there in the Gold Coast in July for the Aussie Paddle Tour.
At KDV Sports, and the weather doesn't hurt either, being in the Gold Coast, so that's going to be great. And my money is on the fact that we will get over 200 now. We'll probably go 220, 240.
I'd imagine so. People love coming up to the Gold Coast for a bit of a trip away for the weekend as well. Yeah, it's lining up to be an amazing event. Roscoe Taylor and his partner Gio will be the local crowd favourites there, as well as Dom, who's from the Gold Coast as well. So Gold Coast have a really large stock of players playing out of that club. So it should be a good battle with the Sydney, Melbourne, Perth, and our Gold Coast rivalry going on.
Yep. So obviously we spoke earlier in the show about the Paddle Tour and then obviously the Seniors Tour. If anyone's interested, they can get online onto the Instagram. Is that the best way or the official site for the Federation? What are the details, Matty?
Yeah, so if you just Google in Oz Paddle, you can either pop up on the website, pop up on the Instagram, or pop up through Facebook. All three pop up as the official Federation. And normally 3 weeks out from the events, which will be 3 weeks out from July in terms of the Aussie Paddle Tour event in the Gold Coast. Then the Seniors Tour takes place in October after that in Albury, Wodonga.
It's going to be big months every month. Okay, that's all we've got time for today. Thanks once again for listening, everyone. Final shout out to Nordic Paddle, and make sure everyone checks out Simon's new venue in Tullamarine. Next month, we're going to try and get our hands directly with Tim Brown from overseas, from LA, if we can, which will be interesting to hear about how his paddle journey is happening over there. Until then, we'll speak next time. Bye for now.
Thanks, Matt.
The First Serve is your home of tennis at thefirstserve.com.au. Log on to find out all the details of our live radio show, other podcasts, read weekly features by our team of writers, and follow us on social media, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, TikTok, and subscribe to our YouTube channel.